If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming.
You can be an interior designer with 20 years experience, but your clients don't really like your work.
Someone thinks your lamp is ugly.
Yeah, or you don't do the style that they're looking for.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name's Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back, our incredible listeners. It's time for our favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our incredible listeners all around the world. You've gone out there, used our advice, you've shot your shot, and you've come back to tell us all about it. Em, this week we're shouting out Sarah. What a great name, Sarah. She bought us 5 coffees. She's supporting the show. She's helping make this episode happen.
Yes. Fellow Sarah said, "Hi, Emma and Sarah. I found your podcast after having a conversation with my director about a management position that opened on my unit. For background, I'm an endoscopy nurse. Slay, you're out here diagnosing celiac disease," which Sarah has. Shout out to endoscopies. "I'm an endoscopy nurse and my unit has gone through lots of turnover. Our previous manager, while a lovely person, was promoted from within our unit before I worked there and never had any support or guidance on how to be an effective leader. Unsurprisingly, she struggled and ended up leaving the position. I spoke to my director about applying for the position and we discussed the difficulties of transitioning from staff member to manager. She suggested looking for podcasts on interview tactics and I found you two. I found your episode super helpful and easy to navigate. I joined the Interview Academy and worked through the modules. I had 4 rounds of interviews, more than I've ever had for a position. I brought in notes and a water bottle. I remembered to clench my bum and I crushed the interviews. I've never felt so prepared for an interview or so confident coming out of them. I'm happy to say that I got the job. I just finished up my first week in my new position and while it's been a massive information overload, I'm so happy. I'm so glad I found the two of you. I've been telling everyone I know about your podcast and how helpful it was from me. Cheers from Sarah in Maine, USA."
Oh, that is incredible. Also, can we just, this is something unusual that I want to give a shout out to. I love Sarah giving credit to the person that was in the role previously who didn't do a great job because she was given no guidance. I really think a lot of people don't give managers enough credit. Like, organizations put them in that position, promoted them, gave them no support, and then judge them for the results. So I think shout out to Sarah for understanding that context and the bigger picture.
You also, in general, believe that managers don't receive enough training. No one ever shows managers how to be managers, which is really annoying when you have a shit manager and it's like, well, it's not my fault that they didn't get training. Someone should deal with that and they should be a better manager.
I know. It's not to excuse bad behavior. It's not to say like, oh, we'll just put up with it because they weren't shown. It's just that that's my HR hat on, looking at like, well, that's what caused that. It's not an excuse, but it's the reason that you got to that position. Even someone who's got lots of management experience, quote unquote, can have never had a single session learning feedback. Like, it doesn't have to be formal training. It could just be like a conversation with their manager on here's how you should maybe look after your team. And if they're not motivated to kind of go out there and find that information themselves, then they just kind of bumble their way through.
Back to Sarah though, what a win. Healthcare baddie and found us by looking up a podcast on interview tactics. Interview Academy really helped her break it down, not get overwhelmed. The butt cheeks were clenched. What a win.
Interview Academy alumni. We love to see them. It's so, so good that people get really great results from going through that. I just think it's such a comprehensive version of listening to our podcast. I kind of find it weird to talk about because I'm like, it's not that there's like secret information that we don't give you on the podcast. It's more like I've broken down the process, the exact order that you need to do everything and how to think about each idea and the homework that you need to do, like fill in these three questions and then move to the next step. Like it's very prescriptive and guides you through the steps, if that makes sense.
If you want a success story like Sarah, maybe you want to get promoted within your endoscopy unit at the hospital, check out Interview Academy. Sarah also has one-on-one interview coaching sessions available, which have been absolutely going off lately. You can browse all the different help available and see what's a better fit for you at interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
And if you liked one of our episodes, used a tip we sent you, or you wanted to request an episode on your situation, kindly follow us on Instagram and slide into our DMs with your question, or you can email us, contact us through our website or Facebook, like wherever you hang out, you can reach out to us as long as you follow first. And that is exactly what Charlotte has done.
Yes, we're doing a bit of a case study on her. She wrote into us, but we're going to make sure that the advice we give is applicable to everyone in a lot of situations. Hers is quite niche, but the lessons are universal.
Totally.
So yep. Charlotte said, "My name is Charlotte and I absolutely love your podcast. I've been listening for some time now and have found the episode so helpful. I need your help with my job search and would love if you could do an episode on this. I'm a junior interior designer working at an architect firm for just under 2 years now and I absolutely love what I do. However, I'm planning to move down to London to be with my partner. I've been looking on and off for a few months now and there doesn't seem to be many junior roles being advertised and the majority of them are asking for a minimum 2 years experience. This is a really frustrating thing to see because, one, how can I get experience if no one will hire me without a certain number of years? Two, I feel I'm more than qualified as an interior designer. I work at a smaller firm, so I've had lots of responsibility and exposure to different stages of design, etc. I've applied to lots of different jobs and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere with the search. I've been considering changing industries and or moving down without a job and hoping for the best, but I'm so passionate about design and I do want to stay in this industry, but it feels impossible. I see a lot of career advice about freelancing or just quit and something will come along, but I don't feel with the amount of years experience that it's a wise thing for me to do. I feel like if I quit and move down without a job, I won't be able to get back into the industry. Something to add is that I got my first design job working at my current company through a recommendation from my university lecturer. I don't know if it's the same for every industry or company, but it feels like who you know is more important than what you know. Do you agree or disagree? A couple of questions I have. How important is the number of years experience on a job application? And can I slightly lie about the amount of time I've been working at a company? 2 years instead of 1.6 years? With my experience, is it worth moving down without a design job and just continuing to apply? I understand you're both very busy, but I would really appreciate any advice. Thank you in advance."
I loved this story because it just inspired me to think about all these things that I was picking up based on what she was saying. Do you have any initial thoughts on what she said? What's your vibe check? Let's test.
My vibe check is, I feel you, girl. It's ridiculous. It's such a trap. We did touch on this in an episode, I think in season one. It was like the interview catch 22 when everyone wants experience, but how do you get experience? So yeah, first thoughts is empathy for how competitive it is, especially when you've got the carrot dangling there that you want to go and live with your partner. So you don't really want it to be taking a long time or have to endure the competitive market. But also, I can just tell what a smart, logical, rational chook she is. Like, she's like, everyone's saying like, oh, well, just quit. Just go get a hospo job and you'll figure it out. And she's like, no, I'm a career baddie. I don't want to harm my future self.
She's like, I like this career. This is important.
So I can tell she cares, she thinks over her decisions, and yeah, the fact she's even reaching out to ask is amazing.
So here's some of my thoughts for Charlotte. So first I'm going to go through kind of like my reactions or information about what she's talked about, and then we'll go into what should she do. And this will help understand like why I think she should do what I'm going to recommend. This is kind of the background, and this might be relevant for a lot of different industries and people. I've tried to make it nice and general. So I am going to assume that Charlotte lives somewhere in England. Now, I made that assumption just based on how she talked about it and just said moving down to London. I'm like, I think she just lives in a city north of London somewhere, right? It doesn't sound like she's talking about moving countries.
This is a good assumption. I pictured her in Australia, but you wouldn't say I'm going to pop down to London. You'd be like, I'm going to move halfway across the world to be with my partner.
Yeah, exactly. And like there would be all different kind of stuff involved about how do I change countries and are they going to understand my experience and whatever. So I'm assuming she lives somewhere in England. Now, I then got really curious as I was writing some of this advice. And I thought I'd find out if I could actually find where she really does live. And I was right. She does live in England.
You went full internet sleuth mode.
I did. I found her on LinkedIn. So hi, Charlotte. I found you on LinkedIn.
Did you find her mum's cousin's neighbour's goldfish as well?
No, I didn't. It wasn't a Facebook search. But if I did a Facebook search, maybe I could. But I will say, I feel like Charlotte is a very English name. And I don't know that that would get me anywhere looking up Charlotte's
she might go by
England.
Lottie.
Or maybe Charlie.
Lottie's having a resurgence as a name.
Is it? Oh.
Yep.
Lottie. Love that.
Anyway.
The first kind of bucket of things that I think is 2 years is not always a hard, fast rule. And bless her for thinking that like it says 2 years and she doesn't have 2 years. She just can't apply and she scrolls on. Like that's really sweet. I also tested the theory because I was like, when she says she has 1.6 years experience, I was like, does she mean 1 year, 6 months? Or does she mean 1.6, which would be like 7 months or something like that? And I found
maybe
her on LinkedIn.
Maybe she's a woman in STEM and she's worked out the exact percentage.
She has, because it is exactly 1.6 years. It's not 6 months, it's 7 months. So I was like, okay, well, that's a little bit closer. Like, you know, 18 months is not 2 years, but 1.6 is getting a bit closer. So it's not always a hard and fast rule. Now, for some companies, it might be, as we always say on this podcast, if anyone is going to tell you this is always the case or this is never the case, please run away from them because it's just not that simple. Some companies might say, we're not even going to look at you unless you've been there exactly 2 years. Cool. Well, they're not for you. Doesn't mean you can't try and apply and treat companies like they are a little bit flexible. You're just not going to get anywhere with the ones who have a hard and fast rule. For the others, sometimes what they're doing with this kind of thing is they're just trying to indicate who they're looking for, roughly. Do you understand why they would do that? I guess they're trying to have someone who has 6 months experience be like, look, this job isn't right for you. We don't want you to go through all the effort of applying. And then if someone has 4 years experience, they can kind of gauge as well, like, oh, this might be a little bit lower than what I'm kind of looking for. Does that kind of make sense? Like having the 2 years on there gives people just like something to organize around.
Yeah, it's a benchmark for what kind of skills that person would have.
Yeah, totally. Because otherwise, in something like interior design, I imagine if you were writing out the skills of someone with 5 years experience, it would look similar to someone with 2 years experience, but they've just kind of been there, done that lots more times. And so sometimes the years is something that is a handy kind of measure. So that's kind of what they might be doing that for. It's maybe not a hard and fast thing. They might be looking for someone who's kind of gotten to that level of confidence that you have. If you genuinely have had that broad level of exposure, great. Maybe you've gotten to that level of competence of that 2 years that someone else might have taken a longer amount of time to get to.
And when she references lying, can I lie and say that I've got the 2 years experience? We think that she's probably referring to knockout questions where in the application it says, do you have the right to work here? Do you have 2 years experience, etc.? Yeah,
how many years of experience do you have? And she ticks the two box or whatever.
So how do we feel about fibbing on that?
Well, I wouldn't recommend lying on like a flat out direct question of like, how many years of experience do you have? But what you could kind of think about is, has she done some projects maybe in her last year of university or study? And like that was maybe a 3 month little project that she was a part of. And you're like, well, if those two together, I'm like basically 2 years. Like if there's something there that you can kind of make something out of, tick the box. I just think you need to have some justification for how you've come to that conclusion. And look, once she gets like 2 more months down the track, she's going to be like 10 months out of another year. you know, like it's just going to be like, yeah, sure, tick the box.
I'm team fib in this scenario because I was worried when she said, should I lie? And then I thought she was going to be like, when I've had 3 months experience, but 1.6, I'm like, come on, you're halfway there. And then when you get into the interview, like I doubt that they're going to say what's the exact months. It's kind of just an application screening. And then when you get in, you can judge whether or not you've had enough experience to meet it.
Yeah, totally. I just think in a direct question, I just think they're going to open it up and be like, well, you don't have that. And you said you did. Like, I don't know. That would be my thoughts. If you can justify it in some way with a project or a little bit of experience on the side or whatever, like, sure, let's round up. But otherwise, I would say, and maybe she's talking about fibbing in terms of just applying for those roles, apply for them. You don't have to say you've had 2 years, just apply and just say, this is how much experience I have. I'm in my second year of working or I'm whatever. Like just leave it as the actual dates on your resume and just apply. You don't actually have to directly address how many you have.
So next up, her conundrum of do I quit my job? Short answer?
No. Don't quit.
Long answer?
Don't quit. Look, London, I'm not an expert on the London job market or interior design in London job market, but from everything I do know about London, from people that I know that have moved there and how things kind of work, it doesn't strike me as an easy job market by any means. It's large and I'm sure there's lots of opportunity just because it's a large city, but it doesn't strike me as like, oh, you'll get a job overnight. Like, I don't think that that's the case. And I actually really agree with her assessment here of she's at a bit of a delicate place in terms of experience. Like if she, and it's not about the numbers and the 2 years and whatever, it's just about like having like a solid job behind you of like, yep, I've done that. I think around that closer to that 2 year mark is where you kind of have that. At the 1.5 years, like she might then get put in the grad entry level kind of bucket. Like I just don't think you want to risk that of being stuck and having to go for that again.
I have a friend that this happened to. They maybe worked for like a year and a half over two different jobs. One of them was maybe 9 months. Another one was however long the rest of it was. Then they went traveling. And then when they came back, they have no regrets, obviously, but they are having to apply for those really junior level roles, even though with all of their experience, they've done a lot of freelancing. They were doing their own work when they were traveling, but it's kind of like they're being lumped in with that very fresh green cohort.
Yeah.
Because of this kind of tricky gap.
Yeah. I think once you get to 2, 3, that's more like, yep, solid. I'm an experienced kind of mid-level. I've kind of gone into that mid-level bucket where it's not the entry level. And just let's clarify on some wording here. When you look at job sites like LinkedIn, for example, they only have like 4 categories that they offer jobs in where you can search by. And I always see people saying the entry-level ones ask for experience. Yeah, that's because there's only 4 categories. And so entry level goes to 3-4 years because it has to, because you can't just be like entry level means nothing. And then what do you call the next level after that? Like it's just like a categorization thing. It's not a companies being unreasonable thing. They just all fall in that same bucket. So I do think you're at a delicate place and I don't think you should quit.
So there's other ways to get the same outcome as what you would get by quitting.
Yes, I think there's a few reasons that people say just quit and move and you'll work it out. I think there's a few things that that does. It forces you to take action. Like she kind of said, it's been a few months. I've been looking on and off. That just tells me there's no judgment here, by the way, but it just tells me like you wouldn't have been on and off looking if you had no job, would you? Like you would be like, this is the only thing that I'm doing. I'm hustling, doing whatever I can to find this next job.
And a little bit out of that desperation would come ignoring the 2 years and applying for things that you think are like, that's a shoot my shot. That's a Hail Mary, but you're doing it anyway.
Yep. You would be applying for more things. You'd be meeting people. You'd be chasing down opportunities because you're under pressure. So I think that is sometimes what you're getting by quitting your job. And it also, something else you get from quitting your job and moving, it puts you in the location that you're trying to move. And you could be a bit of an easier hire because you're available immediately and you've already got a London address because you've already moved in with your partner. right? Sometimes that can genuinely be a thing because companies are looking at, I don't know what she has on her resume now, but maybe it says where she's currently based and they're going, oh, she's got to relocate. This is someone who's not already here. So that can be another benefit of quitting. And I think we can get all of those benefits without quitting. And we'll get into that in the advice section. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. But our last little section of thoughts is networking. Now, what do you think about that question she asked? Do you agree or disagree? It's who you know, not what you know.
I think that who you know can be really amazingly beneficial, but I kind of hate the trope that unless you know anyone, like you're never going to get anywhere. I just think that's a bit of a victim mentality and almost takes the power away. Like it undermines your ability. Like I would like to think, even if I knew no one, my experience and skills and expertise would still get me into opportunities and important rooms.
I think there's this really, really interesting concept that's really relevant around kind of the nepo baby kind of thing. Have you heard people be asked this question or talked about this or whatever? Like when it comes to celebrity film, that kind of thing, often actresses or artists or whoever they are asked, hey, what do you think about the nepo baby thing? Would you be doing this if it wasn't for your famous father, uncle, whatever? And most nepo babies, unfortunately, take this really badly. And often they give like really clunky answers in these interviews where it's like, I've worked hard to get where I am. That had nothing to do with it. And the rest of us normal people are kind of like rolling our eyes so hard, being like, obviously that was very helpful to you getting, you know, auditions or introductions or interviews or whatever, obviously. But there's also something else about that, that when people have answered this well, and I can't remember who it was that came across my feed, people were talking about they answered it well. If you know, send us a message or drop us a comment on Spotify and let me know. But whoever this person was basically said, like, obviously I've had opportunities, doors open because of who I know and who I'm related to. But there's equally then an assumption that everyone thinks that you're only there because of those things. And so you do have to then back it up with the experience and the actual talent, because otherwise everyone's going to be like, oh, that person over there who can't do what they're meant to do. So I don't think we can reduce this to like, oh, who you know is more important or what you know is more important. Because let's say you know everyone and you get in there and you can't do the job. Like, sure, they might be nicer to you than they would be for someone who couldn't do the job who didn't know anyone. But like, is that going to get you long-term success? I don't know.
Yeah. I've had plenty of opportunities come my way through connections, but it was more like I got a contact or I had a good conversation with someone. I wouldn't amount knowing them to the entire success of getting that outcome. They helped. It was a little leg up, but I did the work.
But you have to back it up. And I think that's where the celebrities who kind of say, I did all the work, that's where they are coming from. I mean, it's a very like, you know, they're not being aware of their privilege at all. But that's where that's coming from, because to them, they did all the work. They still had to win the audition. They're just not thinking about the rest of it. So back to Charlotte. Yes, lots of industries are about who you know. And I do think that it's kind of amplified when you're in a creative space. I kind of get that sense, because I think that comes down to maybe competition. Like if there's lots of competition of people applying for interior design jobs, I don't know what the market's like in England or in London in particular, but if there's 20 candidates who all have kind of similar backgrounds, it might be just easier to go with a recommendation than like meticulously go through every 20 of those people's backgrounds. So sometimes like it's like an ease thing to get a good recommendation from someone you trust because there's so much opportunity or so much competition. But it can potentially also come down to like say two people have been at the same job or similar jobs, but there's some subjectivity in creative industries, isn't there? Like you can be an interior designer with 20 years experience, but your clients don't really like your work.
Someone thinks your lamp is ugly.
Yeah, or you don't do the style that they're looking for. You know, like there's some subjectivity in how good you are at your job when you're doing something that is somewhat creative. So I think that's where it kind of amplifies. So those are all my thoughts. Now I know you guys are here for the practicality. So that's what's next. We're getting practical. What should she do? What are the steps?
So step one, have a look at your resume. Is it showing all of that responsibility and exposure to the different stages of design? You mentioned that, you know, you were in a small business, so you actually got to get stuck into a lot of stuff that maybe someone at your level wouldn't. Are you highlighting that? Do you have project examples listed specifically, like what industries they were in, what were the project values? Get into the detail.
Yeah, we need numbers, we need examples. All of that is going to show, wow, she's worked on some big projects, or wow, she's worked on hospitality and also commercial spaces. Like, what are these kind of areas that you're kind of showing experience in? Now, resumes, there's no objectively right or wrong, or like do this, don't do this. But I kind of like to say, if you're not hearing back and it's not getting you any traction at all, then it's really worth changing it up because it's currently not getting you anywhere. If it's working and I don't agree with the way that you've laid something out, who cares? Just leave it the way it is if it's working. So maybe that's not the problem. Maybe your resume is great, but I see so many people who kind of do their resume and think, yep, okay, that's done. And then they just focus on all the other reasons that they might not be hearing back. It's the companies, it's this, it's that, it's some other thing that I need to do. And like they really could go back to their resume. I really think a lot of people just skip past this. They don't even go to our resume episodes because they're like, no, no, I don't need that.
I redid my resume massively, maybe like 6 months ago, because it didn't even have like my most current job that I've been in for 5 years. It was so, so behind. I did it and I did it so good. Like I'm talking, this thing was just the best thing I've ever seen. Each dot point was amazing. And then I looked at it again the other day and I was like, ooh, like I've kind of skimmed over this and I haven't really highlighted anything of this. And it's honestly an endless pursuit. You could spend endless amounts of time refining. And it wasn't until I had that fresh perspective and wasn't in a rush to get it done that I looked at it again and went, hang on, this is missing some things.
Yeah, totally. So go back and listen to our resume episodes. Go and have a look at your resume. If there's any chance that you think, hey, maybe I'm not putting enough in there. And maybe you're one of those people who does the one page resume thing and like you can't get any detail on there because you're squeezing it all into one page. I am kind of anti the one page resume just because the people that I see doing it are like cutting good stuff out just to make it a page. So, well, maybe that's something to challenge.
Now, apply for the damn things that ask for 2 years experience. If it's just a cover letter or to apply, yes, apply. But if they're asking for three and you have half of that, yes, that might be too much of a stretch, but two is in your ballpark. So common sense with this one, don't tick yes if you're miles off, but if you're very close, just tick it.
Get some perspective. I know long distance sucks. Believe me. Believe me. I've been there. I know you just want to move. You just want to be done with this part and you just want to be there with your partner. Not seeing them all the time is really, really hard. But let's imagine that the 2 year thing is actually what's holding you back. Like if you had 2 years experience, all your problems would go away. Well, like you're only a few months away from that.
Yeah.
Zooming out, big life perspective, you know, like even if you all you did was just wait out until you had 2 years and that fixed everything, that's not a terrible worst case scenario. Careers are long. Sometimes the right thing takes time. On and off looking for a couple of months, not that long in the scheme of things. And sometimes that feeling of like you're not getting anywhere is just kind of how a job search goes. It's one of those things where there's no progress milestones, where you go, oh, okay, my job search is halfway over now because I've got X, Y, Z. You could have nothing, 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 and then the interview that lands you a job. You could have heaps of interviews and none of them go anywhere. Like, it's very infuriating. And that's why we do so much mindset stuff, because it's hard work. So hang in there. And then I also wanted to add, Em, I don't know what you think about this. You sound, because you're early in your career, you sound like you might be kind of young. We don't sacrifice our careers for our relationships, particularly when they could be pivotal to our long-term career. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to put someone else's needs or joint needs above our own at this crunch time. But at the same time, it's unrealistic to say that, you know, you're just going to stay put forever, never consider other areas of your life as well.
No, no. That comes into it for me when we're talking about quitting and like maybe not getting into the industry or whatever. Like, you can have both. Hold out for both. I want you to prioritize your career. And it sounds like you already are, which is amazing.
Now, apply like you don't have a job. So we're going to ramp this up. No more having a look every now and then. Change your resume location to the suburb in London that your partner lives. Take the pressure that you would feel if you didn't have a job. Use that insane energy. Apply early. Find recruiters. Chase down every lead. Ask people for coffee chats on LinkedIn. Go crazy.
Yes. LinkedIn, because I found her on LinkedIn, I thought I'd have a look. What's she posting? Is she active on LinkedIn? Get active on LinkedIn and start posting and sharing things. In an industry like this, it's so easy. You don't even have to like write your own posts, really. Like, because your company is probably sharing like this project we just delivered for whatever, and they've got all the beautiful photos, just like reshare that to your own page and be like, oh, really happy to see this. I was involved in XYZ. Like, congrats to all involved. Like, it can be the easiest thing. And then all of a sudden on your page, you've got like some things that show the types of stuff you've been involved in. Like, even just that, you can go much deeper into it. But something as simple as that would, I think, really help. And my last biggest piece of this is networking. To try and move cities and in an industry that's creative and driven by recommendation, you need to be meeting people. So join an industry body. And this relates to interior design. I knew that there would be an interior design association or something like that. And there is. There's a British Institute of Interior Design and they have regular events. Do they have events in your city? I don't know. They definitely have events in London. Go to some events.
And I'm guessing if your partner lives there, you obviously still go over to visit, right? So next time you're there, block out 3 days, try and line it up with one of these events or schedule a coffee chat with someone when you're there.
Completely, completely. And maybe your current job would let you go to do like a remote work day from your partner's house in London so that you could then go to the evening panel that was happening with the British Institute of Interior Design. Like, maybe your current work would be okay with you doing something like that because they get the benefit of you learning and growing and you're like, hey, I'll buy my train ticket. I'm going down there anyway. Like, let me just, you know, work remotely for the day and go. And the value for you is your networking, you're meeting people.
Something about the fact that you're not leaving locally to go to like a competitor or something. It's easy to be open about like, hey, everyone here knows I'm busting to go and be with my partner. I'm relocating ages away. So they are likely to want to support you to make that happen.
You don't even have to be super open about it. You can just be like, hey, I really want to go to this panel. Like, it genuinely benefits you in your short-term career with them as well. When you are meeting people, connect with them on LinkedIn. Reach out to them, follow up and ask them for a coffee chat. People that work in interesting places, they don't have to be hiring. Like, go listen to our coffee chat episode and follow all of that advice. Ask them questions, learn about the market, get their career advice more generally, and let them know, hey, I'd love to move to London eventually. Like, if you ever hear of anything, like, let me know. I think all of that, and then you're going to be really starting to see opportunities come up more so than you are now.
All right, Charlotte, recap. Stay the course. Don't quit your job. Yes, you can fib a little bit, only because you're so genuine. And think of the big picture. In 2 years, when you're living with your partner and life is peachy and rosy, you're not going to remember the extra 3 months that you stuck around to find the right job.
Or maybe she will remember them, but she won't regret it because she landed in such a great job. You're going to London. You better message us when you're there. You better email us and say, I did it. I'm in London, maybe a photo of you in front of a London landmark or something.
Big Ben.
Yeah. Have you ever been to London? I forget.
No.
Emma needs to travel. Tell Emma she needs to travel.
I just got back from a 6-week overseas holiday this year and spent all my money.
I know. You just got more places to go. Like, the world is
okay,
big.
Okay, I'm a child. Yeah, give me a minute.
You're a lot younger.
Far out.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you're listening to this episode, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. We love recommendations. OG word of mouth is how we have grown to where we are now, and we so appreciate it. That's how we hit the charts. We can reach even more people, bring you more amazing content. And another way you can help us out for more advice, inspiration, behind the scenes content, chuck us a follow on Instagram at Interview Boss or follow me on LinkedIn. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something, and I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.